I appreciate so much the opportunity to be with you again. It is always fun for me to be at Conyers. There are old friends here and new friends here. Mr. Rogers, you'll tell Alice I said hello. I guess I'll see her Monday or Tuesday at annual conference. And Mr. Morgan, I'm having dinner with your son Monday night at annual conference. So it'll be something, annual conference. I learned a lot of lessons in seminary. I think one of the most valuable lessons I learned there was when you go into the scripture and there are long, hard, unfamiliar words like commonweal, you need to know what those mean. You don't need to just brush over them. But when they're hard to pronounce, like the ones we're about to read, you say them quick like a bunny and move on. Because y'all don't know whether I'm pronouncing them right or not. And so if you want to follow along and see what you think about them, you can go to a NRSV version or King James. Go to the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 2. And we're going to start at verse 1 and go through 21. I'm not going to ask you to stand because it is a long scripture and because it's not the gospel. And my tradition, and it may be different from yours, is that we stand out of respect for the gospel because that's the story of Christ's life. But I am going to ask you to stand from the waist up. And that'll help you pay attention to this text. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered. They were bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language?" Okay, here we go. This is $80,000 worth of seminary education. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya, belonging to Cyrene, and the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in their own languages we hear them speaking about God's deed of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "People of Judea, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of God for the people of God. How'd you like that list? You know, anytime you pick up the Bible and begin to preach on something that there are no answers for, it becomes a little more difficult. In fact, what we do is, Dave and I and Alice and Mike, is we walk to the pulpit every Sunday morning, Josh Roberts too, and we say the same thing a different way. 52 weeks out of the year, we say exactly the same thing differently. Now, that ain't easy. And so if you got any extra money, you probably ought to raise your preacher's salary. But when you come to something like Pentecost, okay, that's a little harder. Now, what I found out is that you can find anything you want to on the internet, and I looked up Pentecost on the internet. Now, all that seminary I told you about and all that money that I spent to learn how to pronounce Partheons, you can get ordained on the internet for $25. Any of you have one of those? I mean, really, $25. You can go on the internet, you can make your application. They don't know you from Jack Brown, and they will send you a certificate that says you are ordained, and from then on you can go by Reverend whoever you are. Just a word of caution. That doesn't mean you have the tools for the toolbox to be ordained. Just so you know. But you can do that. You can get anything on the internet. And I admit I like to shop on the internet. One of the reasons I like to shop on the internet is because I've never been a fashion queen. I've never been in style. I know what I like. I know what feels right on me. I know what I'm comfortable in, and that's what I want. And sometimes they don't make it anymore. I like pleats across the waist. I like pockets in everything I have. I'm not going to wear it if it doesn't have pleats across the front or pockets. You can't find pleats across the front and pockets. They don't have them at Kohl's. They don't have them at Ross. They don't have them at Belk's. They don't have them at Macy's. And so I jump on the internet and say, khaki skirt, pleats at the waist, pockets. And it jumps up and says, here's what it'll cost you. And I say, send me two. And it comes right to my front door. You can find anything on the internet, legal things like khaki skirts, or illegal things like drugs, or a massive amount of other things. I ask Google a lot of questions. I asked Google about Pentecost when I was getting ready to preach. And then I decided I needed to go to the commentaries because they were much more dependable and it was more responsible. Now, let me tell you that I thought of a question today on the way up here that I think you should go home and Google. I'm going home and Google this question. We, as United Methodists and as Christians, believe in a triune God. We believe in the Creator, the Savior, and the Holy Spirit. And we don't know how that works, but they all one God. I can't explain that to you. And so I want to know, to whom was Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane? Go home and look it up. I think it's going to be so convoluted that you won't know when you get through reading, and I hope that they've been true to that, because if we knew the answer to those kind of questions, we would be a great people of knowledge. But we aren't called to be a people of great knowledge. We're a call to be a people of great faith. And we believe what we cannot explain or define. Now, I don't know who he was praying to there, but I know he was. And I don't know how to define that out for you. It's like going to the Ace Hardware. I went to Ace Hardware yesterday because I found a little copperhead snake in my backyard, and I've got a little dog named Atticus, and I didn't want Atticus to find that same snake. So I went to Ace Hardware and said, I would like a box of Snake Be Gone. And I'm going to put it all on the periphery of my yard. And then he handed me the box, and I thought, what if I just built a perimeter that keeps those snakes in my yard instead of letting them out? So I went to the man, and I said, if I put this around my fence, can the snake that I found in my yard get out? He said, no, ma'am. I said, well, I'm not buying this. Why do I want to trap them in my backyard? See, some questions are hard to answer. Questions like, what exactly happened at Pentecost? Now, I preached, was appointed to and preached at a smaller church in South Fayette County called Inman. Not Inman Park in Atlanta, but in the country, Fayette County, Inman United Methodist Church. It was a great church, one of my favorite appointments. I loved it there. We cut hay. We had tractor shows. I won the tractor race 3 years in a row. It was a great church. At the tractor show every year, we set up a moonshine still. I just only recently asked myself, wonder why we thought it was important to teach the children how to make moonshine. But we felt like they needed to know. Now, we didn't make any moonshine. We had an old moonshiner that had been to prison that set it up, and he distilled water back there, and the children came and looked. And one day when we were having the tractor show, I said, Mr. Betzel, you need anything? And he said, can you come down here and keep the fire stoked while I go eat lunch? And I said, sure thing. And I scambled down the bank because he was down close to the creek, and I started stoking the fire, and in a few minutes I heard people walking across the top. That said, is that the preacher down there at the still? Now, I want to tell you a little bit of a story about that, because 3 weeks later, Mr. Betzel came in my church, came in the back door, brand new pair of overalls, white shirt, hadn't been in church since he was a kid. And it was way into the service. I was about to start preaching. I said, Mr. Betzel, I'm so glad to see you. And he said, well, I figured if you'd come make shine with me, I'd come hear you preach. And before I left Inman, I did Mr. Betzel's funeral. But every Tuesday morning, every first Tuesday morning of every month, my phone would ring and he'd say, I got some cat-faced biscuits in the oven. You want to come eat breakfast? And I loved that man, and he loved me, and he learned all about Jesus because I sat at a still and stoked a wood fire. Does that make sense to you? Now, there was a man at that church who was and is the DA in Fayette County. His name is Scott Ballard, and he had two special needs children. One of them was a girl named Melanie, and she was developmentally delayed. So patient, so kind, so compassionate. But she asked Scott one day about God, and then she said, never mind, you won't get it right, she told him. I'm looking it up on Google. So he came to me on Pentecost, and he said, Melanie looked up on Google to see about God. She wanted me to explain that to her, and I started, but she didn't think I was smart enough. She thought Google was smarter than I was. And I said, well, what'd she find out? He said, well, ask her. So I said, Melanie, tell me about God and Google. And she said, well, Most people know God is around here somewhere, but nobody is sure where. And I thought, that is so profound at so many levels. It's very hard to understand and explain this God of ours, and it's equally as hard to explain the day of Pentecost. Some people will say to you very simply and quickly, it's the birth of the church. Well, that might be true. I'm not going to argue with you about that. I can't prove you wrong. But the birth of the church, for me, the Christian church as we know it, was born in a manger at Bethlehem. And the formation of the church surely started when the empowering of the Holy Spirit filled the room at Jerusalem and in the lives of the disciples there. The coming of the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit was already here. Even in Genesis, the Spirit was hovering over the earth. And so how does it come and birth a church when it was already here and part of the Trinity? And the answer is, I don't know. But I believe it's so. I believe that it is so. And we get crossed up because when we hear the word Pentecost, we think about a Pentecostal church, and most of us have had some experience with that and know that emotions run high. We could take a lesson from the Pentecostal church about that a little bit. But we don't want to lose control, and we don't want to run the aisle, and we don't want to fall out, and we don't want to speak in other tongues, and we don't want to do anything that's going to make us feel like we're out of control. Again, I'm going to tell you what I think, because I can. To me, it's not about how high you can jump. It's about what you do when your feet hit the ground. Are you going to be following Christ? Are you going to be obedient all the way to a cross? And somehow, we lose the meat that's involved in Pentecost by thinking about all these finite details that we can't explain. Now, don't you love the red? The red is out, and a lot of you are Georgia Bulldog fans, and I'm going to the Holy City next week, but I have to tell you, I don't like the Bulldogs, and I'm a Georgia Tech fan. You hear that? Woof, 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 woof. We used to have a whole season of red, of Pentecost, a whole season. It went from right after Eastertide all the way to Advent. But now the worship gurus said you get one day. And I thought, that must be Georgia Tech fans. I don't know about you, but in my church, where's Renee? Renee, where'd you go? There you are. Don't tell Quincy. But in my church, when I go to Red Oak, we're going to have red out until September because I get tired of green. We're not ordinary all the time. So we're going to do it a little bit differently. You see, I have to retire when I go to annual conference because the Methodist Church says you got to retire by 72. I'm 70 years old, and I don't think it's fair to take another church and only be there for 18 months or 2 years. That's not fair to a church. And so I'm retiring this year. Except when I retired and got back home to Covington, Longleaf Hospice, anybody ever have need for hospice? You know what a ministry that is. Longleaf Hospice called and said, come to work for us. And I said, well, okay. And then the city of police called, the city police of Covington called and said, we desperately need a chaplain, but we can't pay you. And I said, well, that's all right. Can I get a badge? Yeah, we'll give you a badge. I said, okay, and I'll be a chaplain for you. And then the fire department came, Mr. Morgan, and said, we need a chaplain too. I said, well, heck, it's Covington. I can do both. I'll be glad to be your chaplain. And then Quincy called and said, I want you to take Red Oak Church. And I said, why not? But here's why I did that. And I'm going to make some adjustments because I can't work full-time for Longleaf Hospice. And and pastor a church the way it needs to be pastored. And to tell you the truth, my heart's in the church. And no matter what the Methodist church says, my heart's in the church. Now, I don't know how people think they can retire from their calling. That makes no sense to me. If God has called you, He'll tell you when it's time to retire, if ever it comes. But I don't believe that will ever come. Now, I'm 70 years old. I can't run as fast as I used to run, but I can run. And I don't think God was calling me to sit down someplace because I had paid my dues. I can work till Jesus comes and I won't be able to pay my dues. It was grace that saved me, not my doings. And I love to preach. And people needed to hear the good news. And Red Oak needed a pastor. And so I'm retiring on, I don't know what day it is. Renee might know what day that happens. And the next day, I'll be the senior pastor of Red Oak United Methodist Church down 36th Highway. So, not retiring. Am retiring. Making sure I follow the Methodist discipline. Doing it the right way. Going back to work. Now, when Pentecost came that day, it was a bunch of ragtag disciples that came from every station of life, some fishermen, some tax collectors, some had money, some didn't, some had wives, some didn't, every occupation, very different, came together and said, okay, here we are, and God said, poof, go to work. I'm so tired about hearing about how different the Methodist Church is and how we're going to split apart and how we all have these vague understandings when we really don't know anything at all and need to lean into the Spirit and say, show us how to love. And I don't know about Conyers. I can't speak for Dave and I can't speak for you, but I'll tell you this, at Red Oak United Methodist Church, we going to keep feeding the children in the trailer park. We going to keep doing the work that God's called us to do. We going to keep loving our neighbors. We going to keep having church. And we going to hang out our United Methodist sign and say, here we are, folks, come on in. We going to play a little bingo. It's legal. We give prizes, not money. We going to love each other. We going to take care of each other. And that's what we're going to do. But you need to be in prayer as we go to Athens this year. Because it ain't easy to figure all that out. And I'm depending, I'm fully depending and confident that the Holy Spirit can come. And if we will listen and obey the Spirit, we're going to be just fine. I like lists. Here's a list of what we have to do. My granddaughter, one of my granddaughters, I got so many grandchildren. One of my granddaughters, I just got two sons, but I got a world of grandchildren. Got married 2 weeks ago, and so she called me this week, and she said, Mommy, I need to buy groceries. They've built a house. They're so smart. And they're moved in their house. And she said, I need to buy groceries, and this is kind of first-time grocery. Will you go with me and help me? Let me translate that for you. Bring your checkbook and help me. She said, I don't know how to buy groceries for the first time. And I said, yes, when do you want to go? Sunday after church. Made me feel so good. I knew that girl was going to go to church. And I said, sure, of course I'll come. If you will make a list. But I'm not going to run all over that store from one aisle to another aisle because you didn't organize yourself and you didn't make a list. So make a list. She said, well, that's the problem. I don't know what all to put on the list. Well, laundry detergent, salt, pepper, flour, milk, bread, butter. And on it goes. Cereal, cleaning supplies. And then I thought, I'm going to spend $300 or more. But I believe in lists. I think they help organize you. Now, I made a list of things that I think the Holy Spirit would give us to say to a visitor that was coming to your church. You want to hear it, or you just don't want them to come back the second time? If you want to hear it, here it goes. Thank you for being here. Even if it is Easter and you hadn't been here since Christmas, stop at thank you for being here. Let me help you, especially if they got an umbrella on a day like today or got small children in tow. Let me show you where the restrooms are or anything else that you need. Not go down to the right, turn to the left, go up two stairs, turn to the right, and there you'll find it. Show them. Here's our contact information if you need anything. Let me introduce you to the pastor or the staff. Now, this one's going to kill you. But Mr. Tom Morgan's got this one. Will you join us for lunch? And he's done that every time I've been here. Will you join us for lunch? And I can't tell you what that means when you are walking out the door all by yourself. Mr. Morgan, good job. I can't go with you today. I got to go help my granddaughter buy groceries. Sounds like the Holy Spirit might have made that list for us. And it sounds like the Holy Spirit can empower us to do that very thing and grow the church. I think the Spirit is calling us to win boys and girls and men and women to Christ. I think the Spirit is calling us to love each other no matter what, to share, to be generous in our giving. I hope the Spirit, I know the Spirit is calling me to move closer and closer to God and to love God with my whole heart and to listen to the Holy Spirit's voice and to fear not. If you can't remember all that, remember these two things. The Spirit bids us to love God first and more than anything else, and to love all God's children. And then forget all the rest, because if you do those things, you'll do everything right. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's peace. Where the Spirit of the Holy Spirit is, there is joy. There is not destruction, but there's healing. There's no tearing down, but building up. There's not selfishness, but goodness. There is not darkness, but light. It is time, I believe, for this church and every other one to lean into the arms of the Spirit and say, I'm yours, O Lord. I surrender all that I have, all that I am, and all that I will ever be for your kingdom's sake. I think about our young people and I wonder, have we taught them enough? Have we loved them enough? Have we been a good enough example? What difference have we made in their lives? And I believe that the Holy Spirit can help us change this messy world. I believe that the Holy Spirit is the only hope we have to change this messy, messy world. And if I didn't have that hope, I would retire. Amen. The altar of the Methodist Church is always open to you. I hope that you will take advantage of it. And if you do not want to come to the altar, if you're uncomfortable doing that, please use your pew as that altar and pray. And if you have nothing else to pray for, please pray for our church and please pray for Conyers Church. And if you'd be so bold, if you could throw in a little prayer for the Red Oak Church, they're going to need it because I'm going to be their pastor. We're going to stand and sing together hymn number 347, right?